All right, well, we need to continue to pray for Pastor his name as they are traveling. Pray that God keeps them safe. Just a couple reminders. We have the Spanish, Introduction to Spanish Evangelism, starting in June at Independent. Brother Isaac Bohack will be teaching. And then another one is church planning. Bob Lesser, they'll be coming in, so pray. Plan, if you want to go, plan to be there. You can go online. If there's some sheets on the back, take one and fill it out. So Brother Moore, Pastor's asked Brother Walt to come give us his testimony. So Brother Walt, come. It's all yours.
First, I want to extend my gratitude to Brother Creed to allow me to sit in the pulpit for him. I don't take this lightly. First, I'm going to start out with my life verse. Then I move on to my testimony. I think I'm going to do about 10 minutes testimony, 10 minutes of a little bit of preaching.
Amen.
Okay. I'm not going to ask you to stand at all. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Okay. The word faint right there is the word that actually means that you grow weak. You grow timid in the presence of adversities. Okay. He said, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was a city with a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he will not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubled me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she worry me. May I ask a question? When's the last time you bothered the Lord?
Amen.
About a situation that you're facing? Well, I'm guilty of this also. You know, so there are times when you run into a situation and the first thing you do is you take your eyes off God, start looking at the problems around you, and instead of going to your prayer closet and kneel before the Lord and ask the Lord to deliver you of the situation, we weep. How are we going to get out of this? How am I going to deal with the situation? Instead of going to the Lord. The Lord gave us the Bible for a reason. He gave us his word for a reason. These are the God's promises, okay, that we kneel before the Lord and get into prayer. We must live a life of prayer. When you get saved, first thing you must start doing is live a life of prayer.
Amen.
And that is the problem with a lot of us Christians. I'm guilty of that too. You know, I wandered in the wilderness, my wilderness, for over 10 years going through trials and forgetting to pray. Okay? Now, that's just a little bit of my introduction, so to speak. But I'll give you a little bit of my trial, okay? I'm a miracle up here.
Amen.
You're looking at a miracle. I wasn't supposed to be up here.
Amen.
You are looking at a child that was abused by his own dad. Okay? Totally abused. My dad said to me, to my face, that his whole mission is to make sure I become mentally retarded. Do I look retarded to you? Okay. Somehow the Lord was looking after me long before I knew him.
Amen.
Okay. But at 12 years old, I got kicked out of home. I didn't know where I was going to go. I went to my grandmother and I started crying to my grandmother. And I said, Grandma, one day I'm going to have my own family. I'm not going to treat my family the way my daddy treated me. But you know what? I don't think I'll be able to do that if I wasn't saved.
Amen.
At 17 years old, I get the opportunity to come to America. I didn't know I was able to actually one day come here. My mother was always here. And she petitioned for us the legal way. We didn't come here legally.
Right.
Okay? The legal way. I'm not trying to offend anybody. I'm trying to tell the truth.
Right.
Okay? I came here. I finished high school here. Okay? A bus came by and he said, hey, you guys want to come to church? Attended church. I love the preaching. I love the fellowship. By the time I didn't get saved yet, I thought because I was religious, that means that I was saved, but it's not. You have to physically, at one time, by your mouth, invite Christ to come into your heart.
Right.
And then the Holy Spirit of God come and dwell to you.
Right.
That's his seal.
Right.
That salvation starts right there.
Amen.
Okay? And through that time, I decided to join the military. first I joined the army like an idiot, then I decided, no, that's not for me. I joined the Marine Corps. And the Lord sent me overseas. Our first overseas duty station was Okinawa, Japan. And they were doing military exercise going back and forth from the Philippines to Okinawa. And guess what, Brother Carter? Bang! My Jamaican eyes caught this young lady. Her hair was like that of a raven flashing through the air. And she looked right at me. And my eyes meet her. And she smiled, most beautiful smile. And I said, yep, I hear you, Lord. And 9 months later, we got married. People said, Walter, so quick. Hey, let me tell you something. God sent you somebody, better marry her before someone else does. Okay? God sent you somebody, like Darian did. You know, he listened to daddy. He married her before someone else said, ask her. Okay? Now, that was platform was for free. Okay? And then after that, I decided, you know what? Let me tell you something. I was a good Marine. I was getting promoted. I have everything laid out in front of me as far as my career as a Marine. And then suddenly when I was over there in the desert doing the first Gulf War, I said, you know what, I'm not staying in the Corps. Everybody was shocked. My first officer said, what, are you getting out? I said, yeah. Everybody comes to me, are you getting out? I said, yep. But I said, I thought you want to stay in the Corps. I said, yeah, I thought so too. Not knowing that babies ago was the Lord said, you know what, you need to get out of here now. I got something else for you out there. I got out. Struggle. I was away from the Lord for a while, but I knew that I need to be in church. I knew that I'm going to have to raise, if I'm going to raise my family, I'm going to raise my family in church. Okay, and then when I got back into church, the pastor is preaching as if that sermon, every minute, every hour, and I showed up, it's like it was for me and me only. Hey, that's the way we're supposed to be. Amen. That when you preach up your preaching, hey, consider that that message just for you. Amen. Don't look at your person next to you, they're right. Oh, that's for him, he's not living right. Don't look at the guy on your left. Oh, that's for him, he's not living. No, for me only.
Amen.
Okay? I when I started attending church, you know, and I said, okay, what am I going to do? Am I going to go be a police officer? I was interested in medical as well. But I said, then my wife started, you know, Jim started working at the 7-Eleven. I started going to college, you know, going to Montgomery College. And then my wife came, you know, come to pick me up. She's always late. I'm out in the parking lot waiting for her. And then she showed me the sonogram picture. I'm pregnant, huh? I mean, I tell you what, I was speechless all the way home. You know why I was speechless? I don't know how to be a daddy. I don't know what it's like to have a dad that says, son, I love you. I don't know anything about that. But guess what? That's why I will go back to Luke chapter 18. I went to my prayer closet. I kneeled down. I said, Lord, I don't know nothing about being a daddy. I need your help. I said, Lord, I need your help with this. Okay? And let me show you something the Lord showed me. Okay? And it basically was, I think it was 1 Samuel. If I can find it. Look at me, say I wrote on the Bible verse and we're to find it. First Samuel chapter 3. Verse 7, chapter 3, verses 2 to 14. Actual 12. In that day, you see, here's the Lord talking to Samuel, right? About Eli, what he's going to do. And the Lord said unto Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that's hearing it shall tingle. In that day I'll perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. Hey gentlemen, how is your house tonight?
Wow, amen.
How is your house with the Lord tonight? If you call yourself saved, or even if you're a preacher, how is your house tonight? What's going on in your home? Is your home pleasing to the Lord? And he said, I have spoken concerning his house. What I began, I will also make an end. For I have told him, look at this, I have told him I will judge his house forever. Eli wasn't paying attention for the iniquity which he knoweth. Because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. Hey, when I tell you what, when I was praying about wisdom about being a daddy, this is what the Lord showed me. I said, he said, Walter, you're not raising your kids right. You know they're not living right. I'm going to tell you something, Walter. God is going to deal with you. This, I shuddered. Hey, let me tell you something. If you're a pastor or a preacher, evangelist, and your sons, your kids, you know, they're not living right, God is going to deal with you. You know, interestingly, Pastor Creed jumped on something this morning, was preaching. I said, man, you guys told my message. Hey, you ain't supposed to be in the pulpit if your family is not right. You're not supposed to be in the pulpit. Okay? That's a testimony. It is a testimony when a man picked up his Bible and you have his Bible. Matter of fact, the cell phone is not your Bible.
Amen.
Okay? People walk around and say, that your Bible? There is my cell phone. No, that's not a Bible. What were you doing before the cell phone came along? This is your Bible. Word of God. Okay? And it's a testimony when a man take his family, his wife, and put his Bible right by his thing for everyone to see, and take his family to church. Your family is supposed to be in church. If you're saved, your family is supposed to be in church.
Amen.
Okay? I get upset when I see kids that grew up in a Christian home. Okay? They grew up in a Christian home. They don't know anything about a drunken daddy.
Right.
They don't know about abusive daddy. They don't know about the mom getting beat up. They don't know anything about daddy committing fornication, adultery in front of the kids, take runs off with another woman. Right? Hey, I tell you what, I witnessed that. I experienced that. My daddy came one day with his girlfriend in his car, looked at my mom, and he left us. Took off. Okay? I experienced that. Okay? And if you grew up in a Christian home, I don't have to experience that. And then you grow up one day, I'm a recovering fundamentalists.
Right.
I don't think, they sheltered us, they did this to us. No, they were keeping you from sin.
Right.
Okay?
Amen.
They don't want me to talk to that young man. Yeah, what's wrong with them? Yeah, they didn't talk. Hey, they're keeping you away from that guy who's going to take you away from the Lord, get you pregnant, and leave you,
right,
and take off to the next victim.
Right.
And then they say, oh, why no one warn me? No, the daddy trying to warn you. Your Christian daddy that loves you warned you. Your bus captain warns you. Your Sunday school teacher warned you. The pastor's wife warned you, but you don't want to listen.
Right.
You're being disobedient, okay? And that is a problem that others give. But tell you something. Hey, I decided that I'm going to change what Brother Creed said this morning about lifting the curse. I decided I don't want none of that. You know why? My dad was also into witchcraft. And his daddy before him.
Wow.
Okay? I know about that stuff. I'm sensitive to that stuff. Okay? I don't want anything in that near my house. I don't want certain music in my home. If the music does not edify the Lord, I don't want it in my home.
Right.
I'm careful what I watch on television. People, are, you know, the problem with so many Americans, they don't know anything about the occult, which is good. But they go blindly into things they're not supposed to see, they're not supposed to watch on television. And then they wonder why their kids have problems.
Right.
They wonder why the kids are committing suicide. They wonder why church kids end up in the hospital with tattoos all over them and want to commit suicide. You know what the problem was? Christ was not real to them. Christ did not become real to them. Some of them probably not even saved. But when you know, maybe the abuse that I went through was good. You know, they meant it for evil. But like Joseph said, God meant it for good. Because it made me stronger mentally. You can't, praise God, and you can't get in my mind too easily. I can't buckle that easily. I asked the drill instructor, so it was a big game. Okay? Praise the Lord for that. But I tell you what, because of that, I don't like abuses. If you want a fight, try to come and hit me. Because I'm tired of people beating me up. I'm tired of my daddy beating me up. Because of that, I have a fierceness about me. Do not touch me.
Right. Amen.
Okay? You would get into a fight. Okay? So you were warned. Okay? And so that's it right there. And let's go to, I think it is Joshua. Joshua chapter 24. Okay, before we go to Joshua 24, look at Deuteronomy first. My fault. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Okay, now here is what Moses was saying to the people. He said, thou shalt teach them, talk about your kids, diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way,
Amen.
When thou sittest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, okay, to keep you focused on the Lord. One thing I was happy for is that when the boys start growing up, I got Darian, I got Hans down there in Florida, and praise the Lord, I always tell people this, they're better Christian than me than I ever be at their age. I'm telling you the truth, and I'm proud of them, and like Brother Creed said this morning, by the grace of God, okay? I decided that I'm not going to be so busy that I can't spend time with my family. That is the biggest mistake a lot of Christians make. You know, they think serving the Lord, I was talking about a culture about, they think that makes them holy. I gotta be in church. I gotta see the churchyard. I gotta clean up the bus. I got, when visitation come, gotta be out there. And you spend so much time doing the things of the Lord, the so-called things of the Lord. And every time, you gotta be at every meeting. And then you leave your kids. Who's, matter of fact, piggyback up what Brother Pete said this morning, when the serpent was talking to Eve, who is the kids talking to?
Wow.
Who is the kids talking to right now? When you're not looking? Are you being diligent? That's the problem. And then, one day, I'm being careful what I said now. You go home, Daddy, I feel like I'm a girl.
Right.
Daughter tell Daddy, I feel like I'm a man. How this has happened? You were watching your kids.
Right.
You're not being careful. You know what the problem is? They think by taking their kids to church, that means going to turn up right? No. My kids were telling you a lot of times the first sermon they ever heard was from Daddy.
It's true, yeah.
Okay? The first sermon they ever heard. You know what? You need to have certain activities that you and the kids appreciate together, that you can do together. We had a wrestling mat down in the basement.
Right.
And when we wrestle and carry on and make a lot of fun and make a noise, and then my wife get yell at me because I'm hurting the boys. Then I open up the Bible and show them something the Lord showed me. Daddies, when is the last time you open the Bible and show your kids something the Lord showed you?
Amen.
If you're not, that means you're not spending time with the Lord. Daddies, I'm getting on daddy's cases tonight because that's our weakness in some of the dads. I'm not trying to get on nobody's cases, but there's a problem with Christian men as daddies. Do you have a place in your home where you spend time with the Lord?
Amen.
Do you have a place somewhere that is habitual for you to meet with the Lord? And you know for a fact the Lord shows up. When you're praying and spending time with the Lord, do you feel His holy presence? Are you going to to the Lord heartbroken with tears for your children, for your family, for your wife? And now, my grandkids, praying for them earnest because you want them to turn up for the Lord. You want them to be protected. Because I'm telling you what, if you belong to the Lord, the devil is going to target your family. The devil is after your family. The family in America is being destroyed. I've never thought, you know, I was kind of naive where I caught her. I used to, when I go to church, I think that because they're Christian, their family is perfect. But you know what? There's a lot of divorced families these days in independent. I'm not talking the Methodists. I'm not talking the Lutheran, they're all crazy already. But I'm talking about God's churches like these, independent, fundamental church. I know people right now, they're not together, they're divorced. And I was heartbroken when I heard that.
Right, yeah.
Okay, the devil is going about destroying families. And you know what? We're so curious not to see it. Hey, let me tell you something. My marriage was always a bed of roses. It's that time when I know the devil shows up in our home. And you know what? I got to retreat to my prayer closet. I said, Lord, the devil is here. Deal with the situation, Lord.
Right.
Okay? That's how you have to be in tune with the Lord. Know when the devil shows up. Okay? And pray earnestly. Spending time in prayer. I do believe. I might get myself in trouble. If we pray for the White House the right way, God will do something.
Right.
I really do. And I'm not praying that God save him. I'm praying for something else. I'm just like that. Yep, I don't care what anybody says. Okay, amen. Okay, now let me go back to when it's Joshua, but things are upside down. Joshua chapter 24. So I can find it. This is like my church Bible, like my devotional Bible. My devotional Bible is a bit different. Kind of once again, like I said, where I stole my sermon. Send spies to the house. Now this is what Joshua said, okay? They're in the promised land now, and Joshua getting ready to go to heaven. Now therefore, fear the Lord. Joshua said to the people, Joshua chapter 24, 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity. Are you serving the Lord in sincerity? Sincerity. I mean, are you true to your heart about serving the Lord? And in truth, in that line about it, okay? And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood. Hey, I decided to put away the God that my daddy served. Demonic stuff. Okay, I decided I'm gonna change that. Okay? And my grandfather on his side. Okay? Hey, I know a lot of people gonna kick me right, you know. And I said, guess what? Was slavery a bad thing in some ways? And guess what? If I was over there in Africa somewhere, what were the chances of me hearing about the Lord?
Right.
Hey, Walter should be saying that. Hey, go and read the missionaries' work back in 1800. Bobby Moffat, Mary Celeste. Hey, we need to spend some time reading about these people before
right.
us, okay?
Right.
And what they experienced in Africa. And here come the slave people, they were translated to slave trade. And okay, they went to Ghana. That's where my ancestors are from, okay? Took them to Jamaica. The British, you know, tell us about the Bible, the Lord, the King James Bible, and that's planted a seed that we could become more sensitive to the Word of God.
Right.
You know, a lot of people don't, hey, I'm just telling you the truth. Let's look at it from a biblical standpoint. Once again, Joseph said, hey, you meant it for evil, God meant it for good.
Right.
Look through the what God is, how God is working on us, okay? And here he said, now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him with sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, hey, is it a bad thing to serve the Lord? Because you're a Christian, because you're saved, some people think there's something wrong with that. If there's something wrong with that, hey, let me tell you something, there are benefits in serving the Lord.
Amen.
Okay? I want to be on God's side here. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you in this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served, and were on the other side of the flood. You know, that's why God destroyed the old world through the flood, right? Because they were worshiping idols. They were so wicked. They were sacrificing their babies to false gods. And God could send the flood. And God said, you know what? I'm going to start over again. I'm going to start off with Abraham and his descendants, okay? And the flood. And God said, the floods are the gods of the Amorites, in whom's land he dwelt. But here was what he says. Joshua said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hey, I want to serve the Lord. I don't care what my daddy did. What my daddy did was a curse, but I don't have to practice what my daddy did.
Amen.
You don't have to be a drunkard like your daddy.
Amen.
You don't have to be a warmonger like your daddy.
Right.
You don't have to be adulterous like your daddy. Okay, what my dad was doing and the things that I see in my home, I decided I'm going to change that. That's why I said to my grandma, Grandma, when I have my own family, I am not going to treat my family the way my daddy treated us. I remember that day. I remember where I was. Okay? Salvation came. I can tell to the apartment where I was staying. I can take you right to the room where I sat beside my bed and invite the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart. Right here, he said, choose. You have to have that choice to make whether to follow the Lord. Will I follow the Lord or not? But I'm a selfish person when it comes to the things of the Lord. I want to get some blessings. I want to see prayers being answered. You know, a lot of times when people give testimonies and talk about, oh man, you know what? The Lord gave me a pay raise. You know what? I was praying for a car and the Lord gave me a car. Hey, I was praying for this job and God gave me this job. And in my heart, I said, you know what? I want to experience that. You know, I didn't realize that. Okay, Walter, I'm going to send some trials and try you out. If you really want to experience me. And boy, did we do. Hope this is proper grammar. There's a time where Reverend Carter, we were homeless. Yeah, we lived in our van. Thank God for a good wife that endured to the end. But you know what? I get on my knees. I say, God, I don't know what's happening. But we don't have no place to live. But you know what? When you do things against the Lord said, I'm not blessing you until you take care of that part. Some people hold on to this thing right here and don't want to let go.
Right.
And God said, until you deal with that, you know, I'm not going to deal with you. I used to be one of those guys that don't want to tithe. Oh, when I get this out of this job and make more money, I will tithe. God said, really? Okay. What does the Bible say? Can a man rob God?
Wow, right.
When I was robbing the Lord blindly. And for missions, man, I'm forget these guys. They're going to come over here and begging money, a bunch of beggars. And then, Lord said, okay, cool. Bang, homeless. Then this preacher came, I preached about giving. You know what I did? I surrender, Lord. I said, God, I'm going to try you. Forgive me. Lord, I don't care what happened. The money that I have in my wallet, I said, good. This is for missionaries, and I'm going to tithe. Lord, I'm going to tithe. Bang, no money left. I said, Lord, the same week after I surrendered, the Lord knows your heart. The Lord knows when you're lying to him. Like Joshua said, in truth.
Oh, wow.
I come up here. Man. I'm saved. Hey, he's saved. Man, I don't need that stuff. I just say it didn't feel good. Yeah, well, can't wait to go back down the street with my boys. The bar, they're probably out there waiting for me. And that girl, Jennifer. Not that Jennifer. Okay. And the Lord knows your heart. Well, okay, shut up, Jim. Okay, the Lord knows your heart. But guess what? When I came forward and surrendered, that job application, I went to school to study to be a cardiac sonographer. Okay? I filled out this application, no call. And finally, when I surrendered, it was 3 months after I filled in the application. It was December. I filled in the application. And in March of the following year, that's a Sunday I surrendered, that same week, phone call. Hey, Walter, you put up this application a while back. Are you still interested in this job? I said, I am. When do I start? Okay, just come on in for another interview and fill out the official application, and we go from there. Praise Lord.
Amen.
Okay, another hospital call. Walter, are you still interested? But this is just part-time. Yes. Praise the Lord. And man, I went to my prayer closet, knelt down, and I said, Lord, forgive me. Now I'm starting to re-experience what the God that you are, like everybody else experienced.
Amen.
A while back, we saved up. I'm always ready to close. We ran down to Orlando, Florida, spent all kinds of money, saved up some money, spent all kinds of money. Came back, I'm like, bite my finger, I said, tied, give to missions. I hope none of those check. I don't have no negative in my account. I'm still basically on vacation. By the way, when you plan vacations, plenty of vacations around good churches.
Amen.
When you go on vacation, that doesn't mean that you stay out of church or home on vacation. No.
Right.
Let me tell you something. Teach your kids that church is important. When
Amen.
Sunday comes, I don't care where you are, it's supposed to be in church.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
So, I'm here. I didn't send them to gym. Spend all kinds of money. Gave everyone the grocery. I'm like, okay. Am I going to have money? I don't know. I know. I do the math in my head. I know it's going to be a negative. And, you know, when you have teenage boys, they eat like there's no tomorrow. So I went to the ATM without nobody knowing. I went to the ATM to pee. Almost $700? No. Maybe those debit and stuff didn't clear yet. Wait another week. Right before, you know, like 3 days before payday. $700? That it can't be true. And you know what? I think I just experienced a miracle.
Wow.
Amen. God decided to bless me that week.
Amen.
Hey, I don't know where the money come from. God, we serve a God who owns 1,000 cattle and 1,000 hills. God knows. Hey, there are times when God just wants to show you a little bit of him.
Amen.
When Moses asked for God to show his glory, Moses, he can't handle that. You know what? We really can't handle what God really wants to give us. We'll be speechless.
Right.
Okay, we'll be speechless. And that's a little bit of the speechness I experienced. And it took me 2 weeks before I told the boys and my wife that. This is what the Lord did. He said, do you know that we have some money in the thing and we're not supposed to? And Jim, you know, Jim's like, really? You know, she's thinking about, okay, here goes on that coach bag. But I'm going to close right now, okay? Thank you for the opportunity and privilege to show my testimony and to do a little bit of preaching. Hope it was a blessing.
Amen.
Okay, Lord, thank you. Hey, preacher. Hope I didn't go too long.
Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's all stand. Altar's open. Come as the Lord leads. You may be seated. If you have any offering, make sure you get it back to Brother Arnold. Pray for Pastor as he's traveling.
I want to go home with it.
Pray for Pastor and Miss Pam as they'll be traveling back. And God keeps them safe as they're there and as they drive back. Anything else we're praying for? Well, all right, let's be in the stand. We'll be dismissed in prayer. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you for bringing us again safely this evening. I pray as we go out, well, that we wouldn't pass up an opportunity to hand someone a tract, share with someone the gospel. Pray you keep us safe and bring us again safely on Wednesday. I do pray all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.